Amen. Amen, amen. Once there was an elderly gentleman whose health didn't allow him to live alone anymore. He moved in with his son's family. And the grandchildren were delighted to have grandpa around, but the son's wife wasn't exactly thrilled over the new situation. She tried to be welcoming, but there were just some little things that irritated her. For example, she loved setting a pretty table, but grandpa's Parkinson's made his hands shake, so he spilled numerous times on her beautiful tablecloth. The daughter-in-law finally decided he needed to eat in his own room just off of the dining room. She tried to make it look like it was for grandfather's comfort, and so she arranged a nice little TV tray beside his recliner. Now, there was nothing wrong with grandpa's mind. He knew that he was irritating his daughter-in-law, and he felt bad about it, but he simply could not control his shaking. He chose not to appeal to his son, for he knew that his presence in the home was already causing tension in the marriage. So with quiet dignity, he ate his meals alone, listening wistfully through the open door as a family, sitting at their beautiful table, chatted about the day's events. And this had gone on for about a week, when one afternoon, the couple's youngest son came running into the house, and he was all boy, a fine, sturdy lad, and his mother's pride and joy. And on this particular day, he was all excited to show his mother what he had been making in the garage. "Mommy," he shouted, "come out and look what I did. When I'm big, my family will have a big table, but I made a little table to put in the corner to feed you and Daddy. Come see it." His mother didn't say a word. She just stared at her little boy's little earnest face, his innocent words echoing in her mind, "A little table in the corner for you and Daddy." A couple of slow tears rolled down her face, and instead of following her son to the garage, she turned and went straight to her husband's father as he sat quietly in his chair. "Father," she said brokenly, "please forgive me. How unspeakably I've treated you. Please come back and eat at the family table with us. I'd be honored to have you there." Folks, with this story in mind, I want to look at the fifth of the Ten Commandments this morning. This is another area in which I believe that the world has slipped into the church and corrupted our values. And so I want us to look long and hard at this commandment this Lord's Day. This commandment deals with the first relationship that most people will ever experience in this world, the one with their parents. So please open your Bibles with me to Exodus 20, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus 20. We're going to be reading the first 12 verses together. Then God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Here's the first command. "You shall have no other gods before me." The second, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Here's the third one that we looked at last week. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." And number four, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You guys ready for number five? Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You may be seated. Folks, the honoring, the call to honor one's parents is a principle found from cover to cover in your Bible. We find it right here in the giving of the Ten Commandments that we just read. And we find it woven all throughout the book of the Proverbs. Then in the New Testament, Jesus quoted this commandment to the Pharisees as he berated them for their heartless, hypocritical treatment of their elderly parents. That's Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to be giving you a number of cross-references today. You can just write those down and look at them later on. And then later again, Paul quotes it to the Ephesians, and we'll look at that in just a moment. It's fitting that the Lord would highlight our relationship with our parents, again, since this is the first relationship that a person will typically ever experience in this lifetime. However, I believe the role of this relationship is bigger than we often realize. For parents are the first contact a child has with God-given authority. And the way he or she relates to them will be a good indication of how he will relate to other authority figures in his life and ultimately how he will relate to God himself. Therefore, we see in the fifth commandment not only a straightforward command for children to honor parents, but also an underlying principle of obedience to any God-given authority. Now, let me repeat that just in case you missed it. Right here in the fifth commandment, not only is there a straightforward command for children to obey and honor parents, but also for an underlying principle of obedience to any God-given authority. And I hope you'll see that by the time we're done today. Now think about all the different relationships in which we are called to honor and obey in God's word. We should all honor and obey who? God, first and foremost. We see in 1 Samuel 2:30, Proverbs 22:4, 1 Timothy 1:17. I'm not going to give you all the verses here. We should also honor the elderly, the Bible tells us. Leviticus 19, 1 Timothy 5. Wives should honor and submit to their husbands. Ephesians 5, 22. Children should honor and obey their parents. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3. We'll get to these. We should all honor and obey church leadership. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, Hebrews 13. You guys are getting the idea, right? We should all honor and obey our employers. Ephesians 6, 1 Timothy 6, 1 Peter 2. And yes, we should all honor and obey the government. Here's the caveat. As long as they don't ask us to violate God's other principles. Amen? We see that in Exodus 22, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. So as we look at the fifth commandment this morning, remember that it has to do in principle with respecting really all authority, but that all starts in practice with respecting our own parents. So we learn how to honor and obey all these other authorities in our lives primarily by what we do in the home. And parents, how you teach this to your children. So this commandment was given by God to the Jewish people, but it's also repeated in the New Testament for the Gentile church. And God obviously foresaw what some Gentiles might think. Well, that was good for the Jews, right? Thousands of years ago, but certainly not good for people who live in Lake Stevens in the 21st century, au contraire. Ephesians 6:2 says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses here for honor means to ascribe worth to someone, to hold them in awe. Ascribe worth to someone, to hold them in awe. One writer put it this way. This is a powerful word, expressing the honor and deep respect which children should show their parents in order that their right actions be motivated by right attitudes. Now that's the Greek word. The Hebrew word Moses recorded for honor is similar, but it carries the idea of weight, real physical weight, inferring thus extreme value. For gold is extremely heavy. And that was a standard for value even in the ancient world. It's still the standard for value today. And so the idea is to treat our parents as precious, as showing them respect and love and caring for them as long as they live and as long as we live. It means seeking to bring honor to them in general by the way we live and specifically by the way we treat them. So what does that all mean practically, Pastor Kerry? Well, let's look at how this honor should play itself out in everyday life. And I would just be so bold as to say how this honor should play out in your life, and in my life as well. Perhaps a way that we can obey this commandment first and foremost to honor our parents is through, you ready? You have it in your outline there, thankfulness. Thankfulness. Think of just how helpless every one of us were when we first came into this world. We couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't clothe ourselves. We couldn't clean ourselves. We couldn't walk, talk. We could barely even think. Everything we needed had to be done for us by our parents, and not just for a couple of days or a few weeks. No, no, no. All you parents out there know, right? We all needed years and years of continual care and training. How many employers would hire employees if they knew that's what it would take? Years and years of continual training, on-the-job training, right? The point I'm trying to make is that we should be extremely thankful for our God-given parents, and it would be impossible to honor them unless we begin by first and foremost being thankful for them. Now, this is going to be much more difficult for those who have been neglected and abused as children. I understand that. My heart truly goes out to those who experience such heartache. But most of us have more to be thankful for than not. I know I do. And even when thankfulness seems impossible for things that happened in the past, true believers can be thankful for the fact that God causes all things to work out for good for those who love him. I think of Genesis 50 verse 20 with the story of Joseph and then Romans 8, 28. And folks, don't just be thankful. Remember to tell your parents that you're thankful for them, right? Don't just be thankful in the quietness of your own heart, and you never actually express that to your parents, especially for you older folks out there with living parents still. Let them know how much you're thankful. Secondly, honoring one's parents also means showing them our sincere respect by speaking, get this, politely to them. Common courtesy goes a long ways in expressing respect, does it not? You guys can interact with me a little bit. Okay, so young people, children, talk with your parents often. Here's a novel thought. Ask them how they're doing. I would say 9 times out of 10, parents will ask their children how they're doing, but a relationship goes in both directions. Think of good questions to ask them. Work hard from your side to develop a real friendship with them. God has sovereignly placed you in your particular family with your particular parents, so do everything within your power to cultivate a relationship, even when that means just writing an email or picking up the phone. Honoring your parents also means speaking politely about them. Remember, the word for honor in Ephesians 6:2 means to count as valuable. However old or young we might be, we are to esteem our parents and see them as valuable, as weighty. There's no room for children to refer to their father as my old man, nor to laugh about their mother's old-fashioned styles behind her back. Don't believe me? Look up these three verses, Exodus 21, verse 17, Leviticus 29, Proverbs 20, 20, and 30, 11, sorry, four verses. And for those of us who are married, guess what? This includes our spouse's parents as well. When we married our spouse, we should have covenanted in our hearts to treat his or her parents as respectfully as we do our own. The world's pathetic view of in-laws should not be the perspective of the true disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? Young people, several of you right now are involved in relationships, and you just got married or you're thinking about marriage. So purpose right now in your heart before the Lord to treat both sets of parents with the respect and the love that they deserve, that God calls you to show them, whether they deserve it or not. Do not fall into the sinful habit of bashing each other's parents, for that is dishonoring to God and hurtful to your relationship with Him, with your potential spouse, and with the parents themselves. And married couples, if you've already gone down this road of disrespecting your in-laws, then these are my words for you. Repent. Repent right now before God and before your spouse. Begin today to treat your in-laws with a degree of respect and consideration. And think about this, that you would one day like to receive from your children's spouses. Amen? That was just two examples or two ideas. Let's go for a third one. One also expresses honor through one's facial expressions. That's right. There should be no rolling of eyes behind your backs or behind your parents' backs, children. And did you know that the Bible actually addresses this? Oh, it does. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Yikes. It's not a picture that we'd probably usually use, right? These are very graphic words, and it shows us that God hates all kinds of disrespect towards one's parents. So young people, look at your parents. Eyeball to eyeball, right? Look at them when they're talking to you and answer with a smile, not a sigh or a sulk or a grunt. God looks at the heart, and sulky obedience really dishonors your parents and Him. A respectful heart will be reflected in a cheerful face, and that brings us right to our next point. So respectful speech isn't enough. Respectful body language isn't enough. Our attitude needs to be right as well. This is number 4B. And this term includes a child's whole attitude, their countenance toward his parents, including toward what they require or what they forbid. Now I'm going to start stepping on toes. You guys ready? Children, pay attention real quick here for a moment. What is your attitude like when your parents ask you to do a job that you enjoy? It's probably going to be one of respect and a cheerful face, hopefully. Okay, here's the real test, though. What is your attitude like when they ask you to do a job that you don't enjoy? That's where the rubber really meets the road, is it not? And young people, your turn. How is your attitude when your parents forbid you to do something you were all excited about, perhaps something that all your friends were going to go out and do? Or even harder, what if your parents ask you not to do something, right, in which you're interested? Maybe pursuing a young man or a young lady in a relationship. And those are hard questions, aren't they? But again, this is where the rubber really meets the road in this issue of respect. What's your attitude like when your parents don't see eye to eye with you on things that really matter to you? It all boils down to whether or not you truly trust God. If God really has your best interests in mind, if he really is in control of the entire universe, then that includes the decisions your parents make, which will affect you. So trust God, young people, and honor your parents. Trust them. Trust the Lord. Now, there's also an aspect of fear in the biblical concept of respect. Now, I'm not talking of helpless children shaking in their boots when an angry, volatile dad gets home after a hard day on the job. I'm speaking of children and young people who have a healthy dread of their parents' God-given role in chastising sin. That they know there will be consequences when dad or mom get home. That fear is a healthy respect based not on a fear of their parents' uncontrolled anger or uncontrolled reaction to their sin, but rather on the knowledge that they are going to be consistent with the biblical standards that God lays out in his word. That's what they should be fearing. So parents, do your children have a healthy regard for your displeasure for sin and your commitment to discipline for it in a biblical manner? If not, they should. But let me just say this. Remember to deal just as swiftly and biblically with your own sin first, right? You never want to be seen as a hypocrite in front of your children. You're telling your kids to do something and then you yourself don't even lift a finger to do it. Honoring one's parents also means listening to their counsel and following their advice. King Solomon was granted supernatural wisdom by God, and out of that wisdom, this is what he wrote in Proverbs 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments around or about your neck. And then he goes on to a number of different things to warn, obviously, his older children about, older sons specifically. And then there's Proverbs 23:22-23. It says this, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. So young people, here's the bottom line. Talk to your parents. Ask them for their advice. They will love the fact that you have simply took the time, made the effort to ask them. And you're probably going to get a pretty wise answer from them as well. Obviously, your parents won't always be right, but therefore far more likely to be right than you are. Do you realize that? Why would I say something like that? You might say, you don't even know my parents. That's right. But they're more experienced than you are. Would you grant me that? They've known you longer than anyone else. Would you grant me that? They know your strengths and weaknesses and can give insight like no one else. And they probably love you more passionately and genuinely than anyone else in this world. Hence, their advice ought to be sought and valued, especially if they know and love the Lord and have walked with him longer than you have. And even when you're no longer in their home, young people, don't throw their advice to the wind. Continue to reach out and ask their opinion. And if you choose not to follow it, do so slowly, prayerfully, and respectfully. Next, a very practical outworking of honoring one's parents is simply living in respectful consideration of them. The family in our opening illustration didn't do that. They placed their own preferences above their elderly father's. Now let's contrast that with what God teaches us in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another." Do you think that involves parents? I think so. "Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters, as parents, we must set the example, though, for our children to follow. So if we are lazy and careless or even rebellious in our attitudes and actions towards those whom God has placed in authority in our lives, then why should we expect our children to honor and obey us and submit in a godly manner to the authority that God's placed in their lives? And more specifically, if we are not honoring our parents, that is both sets if you're married, then why should we expect our children to honor us? If our parents are still living, then we are responsible to honor them. In fact, even when they're gone, we can still honor them in how we choose to think and how we choose to talk about them. In Leviticus 19:32, we read this, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." In one sentence, Moses, listen very carefully. In one sentence, Moses right here links our honoring of the aged with our honoring of the Lord himself. Very interesting. And you know what? It doesn't matter if your parents are believers or they're not believers. Personally, my mother is a believer and she became one long ago, but my dad still doesn't know the Lord. Maybe they're not even honorable people at all. But did you notice that there are no exceptions in this passage or any of these passages? When you honor your parents, you bring glory to God, young people, middle-aged people, older people. When you don't honor your parents, you bring dishonor to him. You guys agree with that? In our culture, the elderly are rarely ever honored. And that's probably how most of us grew up. They're more likely to be mocked. They're more likely to be mistreated, taken advantage of, or just outright ignored, put aside, put out to pasture. However, that should not be how the disciples or how any disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ should ever treat their elderly and especially our parents. If they need economic assistance, guess what? You as a believer should be the first to step up to the plate and take care of them. 1 Timothy 5:8, we'll get to that again later, but I'm referencing it right there. If they need help around the house, be the first to offer it. If they need encouragement, pick up the phone, write an email, or go see them. If they live far from you, have your children send them regular emails and photos. And if they need a place to live, we as true believers should be among the siblings, the first to offer up our homes to house our parents. Amen? Amen. Take that opportunity to serve them. And ultimately, again, when serving them, you are serving who? You're serving the Lord. Paul, in his first epistle to Timothy, wrote the following in 1 Timothy 5:8, and here's that verse that I just mentioned. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Those are some serious words. And when Paul wrote these very sobering words, he wasn't just thinking or referring to a man's wife and his own children, but also to his extended family, his parents, her parents. How do I know that? Because that's how the culture was back then. Families typically lived together. When a son would get married, he would add on to the house. And all these are very practical ways to show respect to parents. But there's one more way that Scripture dwells on, and we're going to camp here for just a bit. And that's number 8 in your outline. Scripture confirms and broadens this command to include obedience as a natural outworking of honoring one's parents. How do we show our love to God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, obey me, through obedience. And that's how we show we love him. Do we show him our honor by obeying? Of course we do. You can look up Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3. This isn't just found in a few places, and you're going to see that. Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul gives us broad summaries of the duties and responsibilities within a family. And there we find two specific things required of children. Okay, here it is in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, help me out, right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Folks, here's a recipe for living long on the earth. Far better than any diet or any vitamin regimen you can cook up, right? The child who concentrates on honoring and obeying his parents will also learn through that process how to obey the rest of God's law. Obedience must be motivated by the right heart attitude, and that is the attitude of honor. And the two are inextricably linked together. Scripture says, honor your father and mother, and it also says, obey your parents. So the two are linked together. Obedience is the duty. Honor is the disposition. That is attitude, if you're not sure what that means. Obedience is the duty. Honor is the disposition or attitude. One commentator put it like this: honor is the attitude behind the act. The act is obedience, and honor is the attitude. Remember that an act without the proper attitude is hypocrisy. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you hate it, and you're unwilling and nasty about it, then you're a, help me out, hypocrite. You guys can read. Just teasing. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you're bitter, fearful, reluctant, and selfish, that's not the right spirit. God is after the attitude much more than he's after the act. Because if the attitude is right, the act will follow. But a right act with a wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy. Parents, because both honor and obedience towards one's parents are principles that are repeatedly taught throughout the scriptures, you must teach your children to honor and obey you. Whose responsibility is that? Is it the church's responsibility? Never says that. What about the public educators of our state and country? I know you're laughing. So am I. You won't get it there either. Mom and dad, it's your responsibility. And I'd say, even say, grandpa and grandma, you guys can help out and play a vital role in this as well. Now, I know that sounds self-serving, but since honoring and obeying parents is what God requires of children, we as parents are responsible to teach that to our children. Now, young people, what if, and here's the what if, you think your parents' rules are legalistic or they're old-fashioned? Maybe you think they're even unfair. Should you still obey? Listen carefully. And this is so important for you to understand. When God gave you this command, he gave no mention of any exceptions. You always need to obey, whether you feel like it or not, whether you agree or not, and whether you think it's fair or not. Now, do you think I just made that up because I myself have 15 children? I mean, it would be convenient for me, and I really do have 15 children. But I didn't. The Apostle Paul wrote this down 2,000 years ago. Look at Colossians 3:20 with me. You think Ephesians 6:1 is hard-hitting? Well, read this one. Children, be obedient to your parents. Help me out, you guys. In what? All things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord? I hope so. I do. Notice that God does not say, let's look at this real quick. And notice that he does not say, children, obey your parents in the Lord when you think that they're right. When you agree with them. Or when you feel like it. Like Sunday afternoon after a sermon on children obeying your parents. I know how that works. The Lord says to obey your parents in all things. Children, does this mean that God will be happy if you obey most of the time? Parents, will God be pleased with you if we teach our children to obey us most of the time? Yeah, the answer is absolutely not. God says children need to obey their God-given parents, all of the time, because remember, this obedience ultimately carries over to their relationship with who? With him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And this is clearly one of his commandments, is it not? Now, as with all sources of authority, there is one exception and only one exception. You guys know what I'm talking about. What if someone in authority asks you to do something clearly unbiblical? Then you are to use the principle that God gave us in Acts chapter 5. Speaking to the Jewish authorities who had just commanded them not to preach about Jesus, this is what the apostles said. And they said, we must obey God rather than men. Children, that's your one exception. Our first allegiance is always, always to the Lord. And if someone in authority, whatever authority that might be, all the authority structures that we just looked at, whether a pastor or an elder or an employer or a parent, whoever it might be, asks us to do something clearly sinful, then we need to respectfully refuse on the grounds that we must obey God rather than men. Now, we've looked at what honoring our parents looks like. But we need to look at why we should honor them. And this is number 2A in your outline. First, because this is God's will for our lives. And that should be enough to like just close up and say we're done, right? But since this is God's command, when you obey or disobey your parents, you're really obeying or disobeying whom? Again, the answer is God. Less than 100 years ago, folks, listen, it was taken for granted all over this country, and I would say really all over the world, to honor and obey one's parents. There might have been the exception clause here and there for 100 years ago, but parental authority was universally accepted as a stabilizing factor in the home and for a society as a whole. However, this fundamental truth has been questioned for some time by almost every authority now, including the United Nations, and now almost universally by our government and all schools, which doesn't surprise me because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul lists being disobedient to parents as one of the signs that we're living in the end times. Do we not see it everywhere we go? We do. Don't forget, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. So parents, be careful where you put your children 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Brothers and sisters, we must not allow our culture to dictate our morality. We must not allow the spirit of insubordination, that is rebellion, to slither into our church, this church, God's church. The command for children to honor and obey their parents is God's command, not man's. And we dare not tamper with it. Now let's read this commandment once again, because there's a beautiful blessing here that we have to remind ourselves about. God blesses obedient, respectful children. Did you know that? He says it right here. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Here it is. That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now this principle, granted, when we read it in context, originally involved the children of Israel and their in the promised land that God was talking about, he was referring to. However, it's extremely interesting that the Apostle Paul paraphrases this command and repeats it in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and applies that same blessing, not just to the Jews, but to everyone universally, including those of us right here, right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the promised land. It doesn't say that. It says on the earth, kids, including right here, state of Washington. Notice a twofold blessing here. First, so that it may be well with you. Kids, you want it to go well with you? Parents, this means us too, who have living parents, right? And second, that you may live long on the earth. And this is what This is what theologians refer to as a truism. It is generally true that the child who listens to, obeys, and honors his parents will live well and live long. One commentator wrote this: this does not mean that everyone who died young dishonored his parents. He was stating a principle: when children obey their parents in the Lord, they will escape a good deal of sin and danger and thus avoid the things that could threaten or shorten their lives. End quote. Men and women, boys and girls, do you want to extend your life, reduce your stress, bring peace into your home, and in general make life better? I'm hoping for a yes here. Then honor your father and your mother. Do you want to make mistakes which could result in much pain and suffering and potentially shorten your life? Then resist their authority and reject their counsel. That's how you do that. You see, when you're living within the boundaries established for you by God Himself, then you're living in the realm of His blessing. God blesses children who honor and obey their parents. Once again, Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. This is obviously a dad speaking to his older sons. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Ah, there it is again. Children, a right relationship with God begins by learning the principles of obedience as a child. Doing right as a child sets the pattern for doing right as an adult. And God himself says, not just here, but all throughout his word, in every imaginable context, that there is a blessing for obedience. Do you realize that? So if there's a blessing for obedient respect, is there a punishment for disobedience and disrespect? You bet there is. Do you want to hear something interesting? It's interesting that nine out of ten commandments, if broken, were punishable by death. The only one that wasn't was a tenth one, and that was a thought crime. It was coveting in your heart. And you can't put someone to death for a thought crime. You can throw them in jail today in our country, but I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but it's true. It's becoming more and more true. But here it is. God himself took this so seriously that he actually instituted the death penalty for dishonoring and disobeying one's parents. Did you realize that? And obviously, we're not talking about the childish sins of the little ones in your home. That's not who I'm talking to. But rather about the hardened rebellion of young adults, I would probably say teenagers, who refuse to honor and obey their parents. And just to be clear here, God said this more than one time. Let me just bring you to a couple passages and then to a little story. Exodus 21 verse 15, write these down. He who strikes his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. How about Exodus 21 verse 17? He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 20 verse 20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. And then here's a story we find at the end of the law, really in Deuteronomy 21. Listen to what it says here. And this is how we know it's not talking about little kids. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Verse 20, they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Verse 21. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Those are shocking verses, are they not? But again, it gives us insight into where the Lord's mindset is on this whole issue and how far away we've drifted as a culture, and even as maybe perhaps as believers. Now, it's true that the Old Testament punishment is no longer carried out for this sin. But again, do you think God's opinion of the sin has changed? Again, God is immutable. We've talked about that, I believe, last week. That means he doesn't change. So of course not. His attitude is still the same. So men and women, boys and girls, God takes this commandment very, very seriously. And so should we. So should we. And young people, one last thought here. A pastor once said this, and I thought this was excellent advice. I wrote down his quote. He said this, "Don't marry someone whose relationship is characterized by rebelling against their parents, because this is the fundamental building block of all relationships. And if you're messed up here, you're going to be really messed up in other relationships." So just a little tip for you singles out there, and I would just double down on that. Watch out for those who have never learned to respect and honor their parents because they generally do not make good spouses, end quote. Very wisely said. In conclusion, folks, I want to challenge all of you this morning, whatever your age, whatever the situation, to honor your parents from your whole heart for the love of God Himself, for your love for God Himself. Young people, if you only honor and obey your parents when they're watching, then your obedience does not stem from a heart of love for the Lord. Repent of that sin before God and begin today to honor and obey your parents from a heart that honors and truly obeys God. And parents, take very seriously your responsibility to teach and model honor and obedience. If you passively, listen, parents, this is how it typically is in homes. A lot of us passively parent. And that's not biblical. We need to actively parent. But if you passively allow your kids to question your authority, then you're enabling them in rebelling against God, and that is just as much your sin as it is their sin. They need to understand that when they honor and obey you, they are honoring and really obeying the God who created them and you. But parents, this commandment is not just a one-way street. Yes, our children need to be taught to honor and obey their parents. But parents, we need to work hard at being worthy of that honor, correct? We need to be reasonable. We need to sit down with our older kids and listen to their reasoning and close our mouth and open our ears. They're always open, right? And listen to them. Try to understand what they're saying. Really hearing them, showing them respect. My brothers and sisters, we are headed for a parental train wreck if we expect our children to honor and obey us, but our lives are not worth emulating. A child will, with just cause, find it very difficult to listen to parents who do not live up to what they teach. But kids, that's not an excuse not to honor and obey them. That's their issue with the Lord, correct? Your issue is to honor and obey them, not find excuses why you shouldn't. Let us all be faithful to do family life God's way and thus bring all the glory, all the honor to our great God and King who lives and reigns in